You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
All you need is love. Why do you love KBOO? Tell us what you most love about KBOO Community Radio, and we will use it on air during our next membership drive. Record a one-minute testimonial using the KBOO mobile app, or use a voice recording app on your phone and email it to info@kboo.org. That's info@kboo.org. Thank you.
Have you gotten your flu shot? It's never too late to protect yourself, your family, and your community against the flu. This year, it is more important than ever. Black and African Americans, people of color, pregnant people without health insurance or a regular health care provider, people with pre-existing conditions like asthma, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, and people 65 and older are encouraged to get a flu shot. Multnomah County Health Department and Portland Community College are hosting a free weekly drive-through flu vaccine and COVID-19 testing clinic that will be held every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. until March 31st, 2021, at PCC's Cascade Campus, Parking Lot 1, located at 701 North Jessup Street in Portland. Entrance is on North Albina Street. You can drive through, bike through, or walk up to. To reserve an appointment for a flu shot or COVID test, call 503-988-8939. That's 503-988-8939. This campaign is a project of the Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health and the Communicable Disease Services programs. It is made possible with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Public Service Announcements.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today we have a full hour program for you, continuing our series on women's voices in Islam. Today we have a lecture given just last year in Wasat up in Seattle by Sheikha Aisha Prime. This lecture is on men and women guardians for each other.
So I want to talk about a particular ayat in the Quran. And I want to, you know, I want to talk about this topic because we live in a time where it's so, we live in a time where it's so dangerous. And it's dangerous because our hearts are broken. And when the heart is broken, if we have the ability, bi-ithnillah, to allow it to be broken and examine the contents within it. Because anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks our hearts, it's for, or allows our hearts to be broken. Let me say that. We should not blame Allah for what people do. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows our hearts to be broken, there's great opportunity. And the opportunity is for us to look at it and, you know, look at its contents. And when we're looking at the contents of the heart, we're able to sift through and be able to say, there are certain contents that I no longer need, that are no longer beneficial, that will no longer serve me. So in allowing, and then allow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put your heart back together without the deficiencies or the impurities that it had before. Right? Like a computer defragmentation. Right? get rid of the viruses, that which is eating me, you know, eating me up. And if we're, and another thing is, you know, why do we have these gatherings? We have these gatherings, bi'idnillah, number one, so that we can give each other support. So that we can give each other the support that we need in order to stay firm upon this deen. Because if we didn't have each other, we would fall into despair. But somehow we have become, we have fallen into the trap, and I'm just being honest, of the chief deceiver, that our job is to be at odds with each other. Right? That I'm not a true woman unless I got some issues with you. Right? And I'm not a true man in my day and time. My manhood is not fully expressed unless I can address I got some issues with you. You following me? Like, this has become our discourse. This has become, you know, I've got to dissect your isms. I've got to dissect your ideology. I've got to, you know, address blah, blah, blah. Listen, the reality of life is that we need each other. And that this path here is a path of love. And Subhanal Khaliq, is so easy to love people that are exactly like you. Right? That's easy. There's some ego in that as well, right? Like, my heart is inclined to those who are like me. And I'm comfortable inside of that space. And subhanAllah, your teacher, Ahmed James, and I were having a conversation today where we were discussing about our generation and our time. We're a little bit, like, we love the safe space, right? We love safe space. Like, for us, like, that's what it's all about. Like, we got to create safe space. You know, we got to have safe space. We got to give safe space, be in safe space. But the reality of it is, we are not the people of safe space. We are the people of sacred space. And sacred space means you might be uncomfortable. Somehow, at some point, something, somebody, some idea is going to rub you the wrong way. It's gonna, and guess what? It's okay. When you put clothes in the wash, it's the agitation that gets them clean. Right? Like, the polishing of the heart, it requires some rubbing. If you're going, you're all familiar with the alchemy, right? You cannot turn something into gold unless you remove its impurities. That's what tazkiyah is about. Tazkiyah is, you've got to purify it of its impurities. You've got to separate it from its attachments, which is difficult. Right? That's painful. Like, what our heart is attached to separate us from our attachments, that's just like, most people, like, I'd just rather have ice cream and sleep. Right? Like, let me just be comforted. Like, you know, like, some ice cream and like some warm chai and like a blanket, and, you know, like, that's what I want. No, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be checked. I don't, like, you looking at you, seeing me, right? But subhanAllah, that's what sacred space is about. There's a component of it. There is time for safety and comfort. There is time for that. But there's also time for us to learn, and time for us to grow. And growth requires some uncomfortability, and polishing requires some rubbing. And we're at a time when our society, we're at a sifting. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And that sifting between those who will be foremost in faith, right? And those who will be, you know, those who are nearest and close to Allah, the muqarrabun, those who, you know, they're nearest and closer to Allah, no matter the situation, they draw closer to Allah. They draw closer to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They hold on to the book biquwa, right? They hold on to the book like, no matter what you say, I will not deviate from this. You will not separate me from this. And then there are those who are like, I'm holding on, it's, you know, I'm here, I'm a part of it, and they're Ahlul Yameen. And inshallah, we're going to talk about what's the difference in those two cases. And then there's the other categories. Ahlul Shimal, the people of the left. How did they become people of the left? Because at some point, they were craving safety and comfort when it was time to grow. At some point, it was more comfortable, it was easier to wrap myself in my own ideology or my own pain, or to wrap myself or to wrap my ideals around my experience as opposed to the reality. And that's one of the sicknesses of our time. Is that subhanAllah, the biggest war is the clash of ideology. We are at a war in here. They say the revolution will not be televised. That the men and women are guardians and protectors of each other. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that men and women are the guardians and protectors of each other. I'm going to go back and forth bi-idhnillah between several ayat from the Quran, so just please be patient with me and don't be disappointed with me bi-idhnillah. If you're disappointed, forgive me. It's quite possible that I might disappoint you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that men and women are the guardians and protectors of each other, this is actually quite a revolutionary concept, right? In our time, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say this. And it is an answer to something, and it's a testimony that our deen, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he revealed this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not subject to time. Because this is something that is so relevant in our day and age, like whether or not we're at odds with each other, whether or not, you know what I mean? I need to be that independent woman, right? Remember that one? Yeah, we had a whole series of them. From Beyonce to, who was that? Can't remember who it was. One of the singers. But we had like a whole slew of like songs that like introduced this culture of like the independent woman, she's the strong woman. And don't get it twisted. You don't have to adjust your television set. I am African American, right? Like I come from, subhanAllah, strong women. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, in the opening chapter, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبُّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَ مِنْهِمَا رِجَالٍ كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. We'll talk about this one for a minute. That the first thing is that he says, I created you from one essence. And from that essence, basically, and from that essence, then it's spouse. Right? Now, so that's your second grade mitosis or meiosis. We talked about that, right? So you have one essence, and then it becomes two essence. And so I want to, those of you who were present, inshallah, at the... At MAPS, we talked a little bit about this, but we're going to expand on certain other aspects of it, inshallah. So we know the Prophet, he describes that the male and the female, that they are twin halves of each other, right? And so first recognizing when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this nafsin wahida, right? That this nafsin wahida, number one, we know that this is in the realm of the soul. How do we know that it's in the realm of the soul? Because he says, nafsin wahida, right? There are other ayat where he talks about that he created Adam, right? That he created the physical aspect of Adam. But in this particular case, this is in the realm of the soul, right? And so in the realm of the soul, we go back to why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this nafsin wahida? What was the reason for it? For that nafsin wahida to be that, so we're just going to say the soul of humanity. And inside the soul of humanity, the purpose of it was for it to be the Khalifa of the earth, right? So in order for it to be the Khalifa or the representative or the one who is responsible for bringing about the command of Allah, and this is going to become really important later on, the one who is responsible for bringing about the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as to spread the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that manifests into two lights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the jinn. Let's first talk about the adhama quality. And the adhama quality is like this, is that all-embracing, all-loving quality that we get from one of the attributes that comes from the adhama quality is ar-Rahman, right? And so ar-Rahman, there is no separation. You Muslim, non-Muslim, male, female, tall, short, good, bad, evil. There are people, subhanAllah, who even they curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet He still has a relationship with them. Why? Because their life is not on autopilot. Right? If their life was on autopilot, any one of our lives could produce another life. Right? But I can't sustain my own life. So the fact that their life is actually dependent, continuously dependent upon not only the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's continuously dependent upon the command of Allah for them to exist, for them to live. Right? That Allah is constantly commanding for you to be alive, you to be alive, for you to be alive. I took my eyes out of my head and put it on the table. Right? Can they see on their own accord? No, they can't see on their own accord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who as al-basir, He actually has to command that I can see. That's a constant relationship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with me. At any given moment, and somewhere between the age of 40 and 41, He decided you're not going to see as well as you used to. Right? Like, and subhanAllah, I realized how ungrateful I was. How long I had taken it for granted. Like, when I was 10, I was shot in the eye with a BB gun, no pen. I got shot in the eye with a BB gun, and they, you know, when they were telling my parents, like, if we remove it, basically, she could go blind for life in this particular eye, so we're just going to leave it there. But, like, it's lodged in her retina, and, you know, that's it. I had 20/20 with it, subhanAllah, for the next 30 years. SubhanAllah. Nothing happened to me. No injury, nothing. Who commanded that injury to have no effect? That's Allah. I could have lost my, and even they were like, subhanAllah, if it were literally, I think, like 1/10 of a centimeter to the left, it would have severed the retina, and I would, they were like, it's amazing that it's just right where it is and it's not moving. Alhamdulillah, by Allah. 30, no incident, no injury, nothing happened. I woke up, I can't see. I'm holding the bottle like this. Who can't see? What happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Habibti, you have been taking me for granted. I've had a relationship with you, I've been sustaining your eyesight, and you, I wasn't that important to you. You did it, you worked, so now you're going to be grateful. Please strengthen my eyesight if I record. And what would I do? Then I will do anything for you to give it back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is sustaining them. Out of His complete rahmah, He gives them love. He allows love to be in their life. He allows them to have food. He allows them to be sustained. He allows them to see sunshine. He allows them to see the smiles of children. He allows them. He is ar-Rahman. This is the ultimate quality. Then He says He's ar-Rahim. He becomes specific. Some people I will give 20/20 forever. Some people will get glasses from the age of 4. Right? Some people, subhanAllah, some will go into jannati, and some that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they have qualities that don't match this jannah. And because they have qualities that don't match this jannah, they cannot enter. There is the quality of removal. Right? Which is, so from the adhama quality is one side, and then you have the quality of kibriya. From the quality of kibriya, Allah becomes like, He specifies. And from this specification is how we get righteousness. Right? There are some things I accept and there are some things I reject. You following me? And if I don't reject them, I will not be upright. And we will get into, I want us to understand this concept. If you don't reject them, you will not be upright, right? But in order to first have enough love and enough care and concern and mercy, I invite all of you to this. So in this soul of humanity, the soul splits, and then you have twin halves of each other. One of them has the jemali quality. Okay, I'll do it. One of them has the jemali qualities. The other one has the jalali qualities. These jemali qualities are your traits of mercy. They're your traits of beauty. They're your traits of compassion, looks, you know, all of these things. The one who takes care, the one, all of this aspect, the jemali qualities. And the jalali qualities are your qualities of al-muntaqid. He is the avenger. He is he is al-muhaiman, the one who protects, the one who is a god. He is the abaser, right? Now, in Allah, these two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these lights, as we talked about, they're from the Adhama and from the Kibriya. If, for example, if we were to look at the state of our society, in our society, when, because we might, for most of us, we just want to, like, we love the jemali quality, right? We love the quality of beauty and love, and you know, that all makes, like, that all, that makes sense, Allah's mercy, Allah's rahmah. But if there is someone who is not stopping the murderers, if there is someone who is not abasing them, if there is someone who is not stopping the human traffickers, stopping those who rape, those who molest, those who cause injustice, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the one who is protecting the innocent, and then subhanAllah, our world would be complete chaos. You following me? These two aspects, these two lights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are absolutely necessary. You following me? They're absolutely necessary. So the one who is the Khalifa of the earth, they're going to represent that. Of course, the jemali quality is represented in what? I'm sure this isn't hard to figure out. In the female. Right? And the jalali quality is represented in the male. Now, does it, is it like 100% like draw the line?
No.
No. Right? How do we know? Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he has in the battle, he has the strength of 40 men. And at home he is shined like the virgin girl. How is that? The goal of the human being, what we teach each other, and when the believer is a mirror to the believer, the goal is to become insan in kamil. The complete human being. Right? Where in the complete human being, you have embodied both of these qualities. Very few reach that state. So in order though, to teach us about the necessary balance, we learn this. So we skip to, in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rijalun Qawamun ala Nisa. Ar-Rijalun comes from the word what? Rajal. Which means also what?
Man.
Raja, only men? What else?
The leg.
That which stands. That which allows one to stand upright. You following me? So you back to, remember, he represents the what? The kibriya qualities. Right? The one who allows by the negation of something. Allows that by the negation of it. There is a purification that allows that which is merciful, that was gentle, that which is supple, to be protected. You following me? So literally, الرِّجَالُ قَوَامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. That men are literally, they say men are the maintainers, they are protectors on one aspect. The other aspect is that they are the ones who rise up. They stand up for women. But in addition to that, this is reflected in one of our most basic qualities of life. You've seen it happen in your daily household, right? The woman has an idea. She writes it down. She needs a list of things from the house. Well, who does she give it to? The husband. The honey-do list. Go do that. Go be my legs. in that, right? You go carry that out. I have it in my mind. She has it in her mind, she's in the house, you know, she's there. I need this in the house, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this. I need da 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 da. Now go get that. Now go make that happen. Now that's some, you know, we might say, you know, I'm being obviously very basic and simple in some in that one concept. Next, in that same ayah, and I'm moving fast for the sake of time because it's a big topic and we could be here for 2 hours, honestly. And on this topic, we could be for 2 hours. And I know you didn't plan that on your Sunday night when you have work tomorrow. In the next, there's something, and I'm only going to focus on this one. Well, maybe not. Yeah. Then it basically begins to describe the woman, right? That she is from the, she has kunut, the quality of kunut, which is devout obedience. Now, this is, subhanAllah, this is where women, you know, we start to be. Now, and the men begin to feel like, see what I said? But in reality, Maryam in Surat al-Tahrim is described with kunut. She's described to be amongst the qanitat. So if Maryam is described as being amongst the qanitat, we already know that Maryam does not have a husband. So this devout obedience is to who? This devout obedience is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This and I said this before, if the woman is devoutly obedient to Allah, brothers, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Like nothing. You have nothing to worry about. So that she's from the qanitin. And then it says the salihin. And these are from the qualities, inshallah. And then it says she's hafidhat lil-ghayb. Hafidhat lil-ghayb is extremely important. Because hafidhat lil-ghayb, by saying that she is a guardian of the unseen. This is huge. It's massive. In her being the guardian of the unseen. So her being a guardian of the unseen. A guardian of the unseen is basically what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command. When he gives the command of something, when he says be, right? And that command manifests in a multitude of ways. In the most simplest of ways, if he's going to command a human being to come into existence, he's going to bring it through the womb of the woman, right? And this is his divine decree. Divine decree is a matter of the ghaib. It's a matter of the unseen. Someone says she's hafidhat lil-ghaib. She's a guardian of the unseen. Yes, in terms of the physical, in terms of the physical aspect, because through that child, we get everything. We get the next Ahmed James. We get, you know, the next Muslim Aparmo. We get the who's going to be the next scholar. Who's going to be the next, you know, leader. Who's going to be the next, you know, one who finds the cure for cancer. Everything in terms of all that aspect, who's going to be the next nurse practitioner, all of those things which are matters of the unseen, right? Even there's a beautiful baby here, we have no idea what that child is going to grow up to be, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what he's, that's why there's certain things that are going to be put into place. This matter of the unseen comes through the womb of the woman, right? And this is not only, this is on, and I'm just for the sake of time, okay? Inshallah, you have to invite me again. So in the matter of the unseen, that this is, yes, more obvious when it comes in the form of a child, right? However, this is not the only way that the woman is the guardian of the unseen. That any command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes through that vessel first. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know what every female contains, what hides in her womb. Right? So that she being that vessel, going back to the hadith, Ar-Rahimun Mul'alaqat al-Arsh, that the womb of the woman is connected to the throne of Allah. Right? The womb of the woman being connected to the throne of Allah. And whoever connects to me connects to Allah. Whoever disconnects to me disconnects from Allah. Right? Meaning that this connection goes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends her a command. She also is known. This is why. Why is Jinnah lying at the feet of the mother? Right? Because of that womb connection. And it doesn't just have to be in the terms of a mother. Because of that womb connection, because of this relationship she has with Allah, women know this very well, Muslim and non-Muslim. They call this women's intuition. Right? They're like, I don't know what that spiritual thing is. I don't know what they call it. I just know I get that. This is this connection. Now, men's job is to make sure there is no break in that connection. They are this way. Right? So women are this way. What do you call that? Verticals, huh? Yeah. And men in this case are the horizontal. They're making sure, what does that qawama mean? Is it so that, you know, is it only about how much money he makes? Is it only about whether or not, you know, he's providing, I don't know, the 5-bedroom mansion and the, like, 2-3 car, you know? Is it only about that? Is it only about, you know, about rules and regulations? No. It's about making sure. And it doesn't, it's not just in relationship to his wife. الرجال قوام على النساء. This is about make sure there is nothing that breaks this spiritual connection, right? Between the creation and the creator. Don't break it. Now, we're all in debate. When, you know, can women be prophets? Does that mean, you know, if women can't be prophets, does that mean she's lesser in the sight of Allah? Listen, brothers. How many prophets were there? 124,000. How many women are there in the world with a womb connected to the throne of Allah? You're worried about the wrong, you're doing the wrong math. Right? And women who are like, I don't get a problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is the difference? Allah revealed to her. Right? This is an average man. But she is like, you know, an everyday woman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa awhayna, that I gave revelation to her. Now what's different is that this, was amazing, is that the story doesn't stop here. The story doesn't stop. It's not like he reveals upon her heart and that's it. She has response back.
You are listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Normally at this time, we would be breaking away to Pathways. But this week, we are bringing you a full hour of Islamic Point of View. So let's get back now to Sheikha Aisha Prime, talking about men and women, the guardians of each other.
The story doesn't stop. It's not like he reveals upon her heart and that's it. She has response back. Right? She's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a back and forth conversation. This is a back and forth relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I comforted her. Right? I comforted her. There are two lessons. One of them is about first this female's connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the foundational base for Musa's righteousness. The level of the shine upon her heart. Many of you have seen, you know, we talk about the waters of the womb. By the way, the universe, of course, is generally female in terms of the universe because why? It produces, it brings forth. So inside of that, the same thing, the womb being like the world, being in many cases, you know, talked about and defined like the earth. And I'll give you another verse where Allah Ta'ala mentions about this. That inside of that, her heart, the woman's heart, in this case, you know, the moon has an effect upon the tide, upon the water. Yes? So this moon is many times reflected, the heart is many times reflected as the moon. Because the moon does what? It reflects the light of the sun. You following me? So in reflecting the light of the sun, who's this light in this case? Her heart must have the reflection of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then affecting the waters in the womb. then affecting how that comes into creation. We know that when the woman is pregnant, everybody knows, don't upset her, don't make her angry, don't watch, you know, movies, it's going to make the baby nervous. We know, we all know that, right? But how does that also manifest? This is a small world. How does that manifest on the greater level? So when men have the responsibility of Qawama, this is a big job. This is a job about basically, you know, I mean, on a simple level, it would just be like the orange, right? Where the orange has a peeling. If the orange doesn't have a peeling, then it's not going to be supple. It's not going to be able to give the nourishment to people, right? And if the skin is present with no fruit inside, what purpose is it? What job does it serve? And so us being the guardians and the protectors of each other, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Tawbah about, and correct me if I'm wrong, I have several items in my mind, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 223, sorry, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the earth, that the woman, he says to the man, the woman is a tilth for you, right? The woman is a tilth for you. Most women, when we hear this verse, we're like, call me a tilth. What does that mean? I'm a tilth for you. Now, subhanAllah, we've been translating this in a very base and low way, right? And just like this is about, you know, marital relations and intercourse and all of that, but in reality, there's a greater understanding at work. And part of the greater understanding is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the woman is a tilth for you, meaning the earth by itself will give. The earth by itself, it doesn't need anything to give. Anyone who's in permaculture or anything like that, the earth by itself will give. It will give you fruit. It will give you nourishment. It produces all on its own. So then what does the farmer do? Right? What does the farmer do? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explained, he has the kibriya qualities. Let's remove the weeds. Let's remove the danger. We got to put a fence around it to make sure that those who, if humanity is going to benefit, we need to protect it from the animals. We need to protect it from those who devour beyond their needs. Right? And so I think today in our situation, we have this, you know, this kind of thought that, you know, for us to need each other in this way, or for us to operate in this way, that, you know, it's a dirty word to say that I need you. But in reality, we need each other for our own most basic survival. Most basic survival. And our spiritual growth, it becomes necessary. It becomes necessary. In order for us to, because what happens is when that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends into the earth, it descends first with the woman, as Allah mentioned multiple times, before the word came to Isa, it came to who? Say it loud, you scared? Right? It came to Maryam. Before Jibreel was ever a part of Isa's life, he was a part of whose life? Maryam. He was a part of her life. Right? Jibreel comes and he is revealing to Maryam. What does he say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent you? Allah sent me to you to give you glad tidings and a word. Now, the test becomes for us is that we do not become like Iblis. What happened in the case of Iblis? A command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A word, an amr, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iblis, what does he do when the amr comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He's too busy. Allah gives him a command. He starts looking at the creation. He starts looking at the creation up and down. Right? And and then he makes an assessment on his own. Like, I'm looking at the creation. I mean, let's back up. I've been here longer. I've worshiped you more. I have more prayers, right? I have more whatever, have more praise of you. I have more of this. Why should I bow down to him? Why should I bow down? According to my estimation, he hasn't done anything. He doesn't deserve to be here. He doesn't deserve for me to, he doesn't deserve for me to submit. But ultimately, the submission is not from Iblis to Adam. The submission is between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Iblis. Most of us in many cases have difficulty in the first step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a command. He gives us Amr in the Quran. He gives us yani the Kalam al-Azim, the best of commandment. Right? He's telling women, yes, listen to your husband. Yes. And the men, the same. Some of the same conversation. Take care of her. Maintain her. Give what? This is life for a life. The money that you, that becomes tangible evidence for how you spent your time, you're going to give it to her. Why should I give her my money? She ain't in my money. Shit, I was the one out here working. You know what I mean? I was the one out here hustling while she was at home sipping on coffee. I ain't getting bonbons or whatever. She, I got to take care of her. She independent. She take care of her own self. Right? The first commandment. We can't get past surrender one. Submission one. Submission one. I didn't ask you who had more rank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't ask Iblis about the rank of Adam. I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you to make a rationale. Guess what? I didn't ask you to think. Ooh, I know, right? Like, goodness, why I asked you to think? I asked you to submit. And when you can surrender unto Allah, then we can really elevate. You can become into your greatness. You can come into your greatness. You can actually manifest the real qualities for why you are here. But first, can you exercise khilafah over your nafs? Can you get self-mastery together? But I know part of the problem, we have problems with self-mastery, is because we have some other issues. Like, for example, we actually think that having qawama, when we say rijalun qawamun ala nisa, as if that robs her of her agency. It doesn't rob her of her agency. And if she has agency, it doesn't rob you of your responsibility. Because your responsibility is not based upon what she does or doesn't do. Your responsibility is based upon the command of Allah. And by doing it, there is a preservation of the word. There is a protection over that. There is a protection over righteousness in this society. There is a protection, there is a maintenance between keeping the creation, keeping to the creator, and if you sever that tie, if you sever it, you're going to have chaos. You're going to have people with no mercy. You're going to have rape. You're going to have child molestation. You're going to have domestic violence. You're going to have war. You're going to have all kinds of problems. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I created her from my name, Rahmim. I created her from Rahma. So if you sever the tie, you're going to have chaos. Man wasalatuni wasalatullah. Man qata'atuni qata'atullah. Whoever connects, the womb speaks in this moment. The womb is speaking in this hadith, Al-Qudsi, and says, whoever connects to me connects to Allah. And whoever disconnects from me disconnects from Allah. Now, what does that mean? If she is the quality of the Adhama, the Rahma quality, you're going to find a world that is decreasing in its mercy. You're going to be having people crying out, where is Allah? God, where are you? Where can I find you? Ya Rabbi, there's chaos in the street. You're going to be, what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's job, he gave you the word. Did you follow it? Did you keep the connection? If you don't plug your phone in the wall, how long you think you're going to have power? If you don't keep your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not doing the things that he told me, when my servant calls upon me, tell him I'm indeed near, I respond to his call. What's the second section? Let him also respond to my call. The answer is in the majority of the answer is in the what he's given you already. We have abandoned that. I have an issue with that. I can't get past the Iblis equality. Why? And Iblis comes from what? From Balasa, which means to be lost. To feel Balasa, to feel hopeless. To feel hopeless. What does Iblis feel hopeless about? I'm going to lose my status. I'm going to lose my rank. I'm going to lose my position. I'm not going to be in this high level. Most of us in our relationship with getting along, men and women, it's a power struggle. It's a power struggle. I feel that I'm not going to have this status in this household. I'm not going to be respected, or I'm not going to be listened to, or I'm not going to get the respect I deserve. Or what? Like all of a sudden, if I serve, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, ya Aisha, how was the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at home? He served his family. Men think, one of my teachers told me directly, I asked him, what is qawama? What does it mean to provide and to, he says that he actually feeds her. I said, what do you mean? Like, he brings home the bacon, she fries it up in a pan? Like, well, he said, no, that he is the one who literally feeds her. I said, wow, that's different. Right? Like, to literally provide for her, is that his job? SubhanAllah. That he's the one who brings the food. Most men at this moment are like, their brain's going. That was one sheikh. That's a minority opinion. Why? Because we feel like if you know what I mean? Because what are you afraid of? Because if I serve, then I'm not in high position. But the one who serves you is the king of them. The one who serves is the king of them. Right? Going back to the controversial hadith, I mentioned Aunt Maps. Right? The controversial hadith, the one about. And I, SubhanAllah, I was doing a session, a premarital counseling session. And, there was a kind of a conversation between, we were talking about roles and things like that between the husband and the wife. So the man said, he narrated the portion of the hadith that says, but if Allah were to order anyone to bow down, it would be the wife to the husband. Right? And I was like, okay. So I said, well, let's go through the whole narration. And the narration goes, as I mentioned at Maps, where a camel in Medina, in the streets of Medina, is running around, jumping around, and very agitated and upset. The Prophet ﷺ sees this camel, goes to the camel, hugs the camel, puts the camel's head on his shoulder, and strokes the camel, calming him down and giving him love and affection. And then he says to the camel, what's wrong? And the camel responds, my owner works me and he doesn't give me rest. He rides me and he doesn't give me water and food. He doesn't give me food and water. So the Prophet ﷺ said, who is the owner of this camel? And so, of course, the poor man, he had to raise his hand and own up to it and say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm the owner of that camel. And so the Prophet ﷺ said that if you're going to work this camel, then you must provide it rest. And if you're going to ride this camel, you must give it food and water. And so then the camel began to make sujood to the Prophet ﷺ. And then the other people who were watching began to also make sujood to the Prophet ﷺ. And so then the Prophet stopped them and said, no, if Allah were to order anyone to bow down to another, it would have been the husband to the wife, right? Most people love this last part, like, right? And most women are like, fired up, hold tight. What happened here? What happened in this particular case is that the Prophet ﷺ saw a creature, not his own, a creature in turmoil, in pain, went to that creature, comforted that creature, loved and respected that creature, asked the creature what's wrong, right? Upon which he then listened, he believed this particular creature and then began to advocate on for its rights. This is what made the camel make sujood to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, what is the sunnah? What did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam do in this case? And this is from the example that we're also going to discuss bi-idhnillah. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sees this camel beginning to give him a level of reverence that is only due to Allah, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam stops him and said, this kind of reveration, this kind of submission, this level is only for Allah. It is not even for the messenger of Allah, who's khuluqul azim. So when there are women who feel that the husbands are the center of their universe, the nature of men might be that, like, my ego is loving this, whatever I do, she says, you know, that want to be commanding, but that's not from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When he saw that you are putting me in the center and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he stopped. Don't do that. This level of love and respect is for Allah only. Not, I'm using the hadith to force you to do it. I'm using your religion as a weapon against you, not recognizing the level of ego check the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, is putting in place. Like, whoosh, whoosh, emotionally harming each other. Using deen for our own benefit. When we were meant to work together in order to establish the khilafah. That's what it's about. وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ They have qunut. Qunut is they are in devout obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is like our Lady Maryam. What does our Lady Maryam, the mother of Isa, what does she teach us? That no matter when she enters into this, long story, I'll tell the fast forward story. And this is like one of my favorite stories. Sidi Ahmed can tell you, like, we were in Jerusalem and I'm like, you could just leave me right here forever. And you know, when Maryam, when her mother first makes the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records, and something so beautiful happens, right? She makes dua, and she asks, like, she dedicates that which is in her womb to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the service of Allah, at this particular time, only men are allowed in the religious institution. Only men are allowed to serve and to learn, right? And so when she gives birth to a girl, this is why she's disappointed. She's disappointed because she's like, I want someone who will be able, right, to serve you in this way, Ya Allah. And then Allah says, I know full well what you gave birth to. وَذَكَرَ لَيْسَ كَلُنْفَى Right? And the male is not like the female. So what does he use this child to do when she's small, right? She takes the baby and takes it to the gate. And they're like, what are you doing? Her husband used to be the great sheikh of this institution, and he, you know, they're like, what are you doing? Come on, you know, we don't accept girls and we don't accept babies. Like, take this child back, right? Like, please, we're not going to accept her in this service. When Maryam becomes about the age of somewhere between 11 and 13, she actually comes back on her own and stages a mini protest, right? Outside the gate, saying, you're going to let me in. Right? And they're like, we had great respect for your father because we had such great respect for your father. Like, please stop this. She would come day after day after day after day. Who supports her? Who supports her in this protest? Zachariah. And she needed his advocacy. So then when the men meet, right? The men meet and like, okay, who's going to take care of her? Why? For two reasons. One, we do want her to learn, but also, like, what we need is to kind of keep her separate, right? Like, we need her. She can't join the population of men. She can't be with the rest of the boys, right? So they draw lots. Who's going to be the one who's going to take care of her? Zachariah wins 11 times, right? Instead of, listen what happens. She can't be in the main area with everybody else. So they open a door for her from the side entrance by which she has a staircase to the basement. And she can stay in the basement. And when it comes time, like, and her job is to cook and to clean. She can cook and she can clean. Maryam, what does she do? I've gotten through this step, right? I've gotten to this step. And she's relying upon Allah. Has to be Allah when that muwakkil. So she would sweep clothes when it was time for class. She would use that time to sweep clothes to the classroom. And as she's sweeping clothes to the classroom, she would listen to the lessons being taught. And then she would take those lessons back into her small room and she would study and review it. Right? Who's teaching her? Allah. She's being taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Zakariya. She's being taught by Allah and his messenger. Allah. This is who she reviews her lessons with. And she known that she would fast during the day and she would give out charity. Right? She would give her food that her uncle was giving her. She would actually give it out to people, to the poor people standing at her door. So it became known. Like if you come to this door, there's a young girl, she's going to come, she's going to give sadaqah from this door. Which is why she used to faint. She used to have fainting spells from not eating and from working and staying up all night studying. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he sent her food min as-sama'. Right? When Zakariya goes into her room and he finds this karama or this mu'jiza, this miracle happening, he says, where did you get this food? He says, Allah yurzuquni bi ghairin, he said. Allah provides for me, my Lord, Rabbi, yurzuquni, provides for me without measure. Right? This is kunut. This is devotion. What is she doing? She's playing the hand, dealing with the hand she's been dealt. Now, do we know any one of those men who were in that religious institution? Not one. But we do know Maryam. Look how Allah preserved her. Look how Allah preserved her. And I wish we had more time to go through. There are 8 women that are mentioned in the Quran that are each connected to these qualities. Bi-ithnillah, another time. Inshallah. What we know also is that Maryam is the one who is also the preserver, says the preserver of furujuhum, the one who protects their private parts. Why? Why is it we might think about, you know, we have this conversation about men and women protecting their private parts. Why? Because it is one of the oceans. It is one of the quickest, actually, rivers to the ocean of the heart, as we know. Right? So protecting your private parts, staying chaste. But you can only remain chaste if you have haya, if you have modesty first. But in staying chaste, especially, I mean, for men, yes, it's huge into your heart. But also for women, because it is a direct relationship to your womb. And not just because you will get pregnant, no. But because your womb is connected to the throne of Allah. And when that word comes down, it's important that that word remains pure. That word remains pure. And it passes on to the cycle of men who then, it becomes deciphering, becomes standing up and protecting and preserving that word. And that word then becomes manifest into the world. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be guardians and protectors of each other. Amen. In order that we may manifest the khilafah upon this earth.
Amen. Round of applause for Aisha.
You have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today's special lecture was by Sister Aisha Prime, recorded just last year up in Seattle when she was visiting with Wasat. Lecture was titled Men and Women Guardians of Each Other. If you've enjoyed or benefited from this program, please consider a donation.
Hello out there, this is Jello Biafra. If you're tired of the OCA, Walt Disney, Westinghouse, General Electric, and police departments telling you what you should listen to, stay tuned in to KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored, non-commercial community.